without health insurance or the money to pay for health care out of pocket is like running the gauntlet. If injuries happen or disease strikes, those living in poverty have few choices. There's the emergency room, which will take you in and treat you, but then can leave you floundering in crippling debt. The other option is state-run Medicaid, and or the other term for that is Badger Care. But the qualifications for those programs are tightening, and as is the state's budget. So for many, a last resort is the free clinic. And this hour, we're talking with leaders from three of the free clinics in western Wisconsin. We'll get into how the demand for their services has changed, whether it's up or down since the recession officially ended in 2010. We'll talk about funding, and we'll talk about how recent political decisions may impact free clinic futures here in western Wisconsin. It's the Free Clinic Checkup right here on the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'm joined by three women in leadership roles at their respective free clinics. First, I'd like to welcome Marybeth Woodford. She's the executive director of the Chippewa Valley Free Clinic in Eau Claire. Marybeth Woodford, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. It's nice to be here.
And joining us as well in studio is Mary Myers. She's clinic coordinator for the Open Door Free Clinic in Chippewa Falls. Mary Myers, thanks for being part of the program.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Our pleasure. And joining us by phone is Sandy Krautkramer. She's director of the Rice Lake Free Clinic, which is one of the younger operations of, or youngest of the three, I believe. And also with Sandy Krautkramer is Lisa Jonte. And she's a board member with the Rice Lake Free Clinic. So, ladies, thank you for being part of the program as well.
Thank you.
And as always, we want our listeners to be part of this discussion. Give us a call. I want to hear from you. Has a free clinic ever made an impact in your life, whether you were a patient or a volunteer? And when you think of free clinics, what comes to mind? Give us a call at 800-228-5615. That number again is 1-800-228-5615. Now, I'll start with Marybeth Woodford, and we in Wisconsin, we've got some pretty good programs for those with modest means as far as health care is concerned. I'm talking about Badger Care and also the federal programs like Medicare. Why do we even need free clinics?
Well, Rich, we have a wait list on Badger Care right now. So there is a ceiling to the amount that's funded for Badger Care, and those that are not able to get in the program are on a waiting list, and we see those patients, along with other patients in the community that may be working a few part-time jobs but not have access to insurance. The homeless in our communities are also seen by us. We consider ourselves a safety net clinic in the community, so we see patients that have nowhere else to go.
And, I mean, they do have the option of going to the emergency room, but again, what's the problem with that?
Well, our job is to keep people with basic health care needs away from the emergency room. You can imagine the cost that would be driven up in a community if everyone who needed any type of health care would go to urgent care or the emergency departments. We want to provide the basic health care so when an emergency is necessary, it's available to them.
And Sandy Krautkramer, an article that I found on the Rice Lake Chronotype about the discussion leading up to the creation of the free clinic there. There was a reader comment that I think spoke volumes to the next topic that I want to discuss, and that's kind of assumptions of what free clinics are and who they serve. This comment said that the free clinic would only be treating heroin addicts, and it would be bringing all kinds of undesirable people to the city. Now, of course, that's an extreme view, but what are the assumptions about who goes to the free clinics and what goes on there?
Well, I think some of the assumptions are that we're treating the indigent public, but that's just really not true. A lot of our patients are hardworking. They're our friends and neighbors. They're just down on their luck, and with the unemployment rate being high, I think we're seeing people that have just lost their insurance for one reason or another and just have nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to add on to that would be just what the other person said around that we have a lot of working poor. I mean, people are working full-time jobs and maybe jobs that do not offer benefits. And so they don't have the luxury of turning in an insurance claim because they don't not have insurance.
And Mary Myers, why do we have these kind of assumptions? Where were they born?
I think probably a lot of it is from the media and maybe TVs, movies, things like that. I think until you really talk to people who've been to the free clinics or who have worked at the free clinics, you may have some of those assumptions. So I'm really glad that you brought this topic up. A lot of our patients are people who may be self-employed, who can't afford their own insurance programs. We see a lot of young adults who maybe are first getting started in their working careers and have gone off their parents' insurance and are just kind of trying to find their way in the world. So there are a lot of really hardworking people who, you know, just for the grace of God, there goes you or I. You know, it can happen to anyone.
Right. And, and Mayor Beth, you mentioned that your neighbor. It's your neighbor. It's our neighbors in the region.
Right. You can imagine those, again, that are just starting out, those that may have lost their job, but they're going back to work. A couple of part-time jobs that they're not being offered insurance. Many families need to make a decision. Are they going to pay for health care? Are they going to put food on their table? Or are they going to put gas in their car? So we want to remove that barrier in our community that health care should not be entitlement, but a fundamental right for all citizens in our community.
That's a big question. I remember asking that to some of the politicians that were running for election, whether health care was a right, and I got a lot of, well, sure, but, you know, there's qualifiers there. With that in mind, I mean, we have programs like Badger Care, which is, it's a pretty decent program. Who does it serve better than others? I mean, you mentioned childless adults, Mary Beth Woodford. They are the ones that are kind of getting squeezed out. And there was a waiting list. It was capped at how many people? Do you remember?
Well, I believe right now we have about 148,000 in Wisconsin on the wait list for Badger Care.
Childless single adults.
Yes, if you have children, well, I can't say that it's not. Some families that may be on... their children are covered, but the adults may not be. But it's primarily those that have no children. Single males, for instance, may be a primary. Those that work in retail, for instance, or part-time jobs.
Okay. And Mary Myers, I mentioned the assumptions about who goes to free clinics and what happens there. What about, is there a stigma among the people, do they fear a stigma when they go to a free clinic? And have you heard, or have any of our guests, have you heard whether a person says, you know, they waited to go because they didn't want to be cast as that person?
Absolutely. You do hear people who have hesitated to come in or who say, I never thought I would find myself in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a big step for some people to take that, you know, first step through the door and to meet people.
Okay.
And, Rich, I'm glad you're bringing this up tonight because many people do feel that way. It's that stigma of walking through the door. We want to see people before they're too sick to see us. So many people come in the door and they're very ill, and we want and we promote that we treat people with dignity and respect when they walk through the door, just like any other clinic. They're going to get quality health care when they come to see us. We want to make sure that they feel comfortable coming into our waiting room.
A reminder to our listeners, we're talking about free clinics in western Wisconsin. We've got folks from three of the clinics in our listening area, which include the Free Clinic in Rice Lake, the Open Door Clinic in Chippewa Falls, and the Chippewa Valley Free Clinic here in Eau Claire. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you've got a question or a comment, please give us a call. The number is 800-228-5615. That number again is 1-800-228-5615. The conversation is always richer when we hear from our listeners. Sandy Krautkramer, what types of services are you able to provide at the free clinic, just for our listeners' sake?
We work mostly with chronic disease management and routine health care. We are able to offer our patients medications, and we can do some acute short-term illnesses. The things we can't cover are, we're not an emergency room, so we can't cover emergency care.
So trauma is not an option, but and Mary Myers, the disease, chronic disease management. What kind of things are we talking about here?
We see a lot of diabetic patients and patients with hypertension, high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. And has that changed? Have the types of chronic diseases among the people in poverty or the low income people, has that changed in the years past?
I think that's fairly consistent, and I think it reflects our population as a whole.
Okay.
Not just the free clinic population.
Now, Mary Beth Woodford, do different free clinics offer different services, or is it pretty much the same?
I think it's pretty much standardized in basic health care, health maintenance, and some chronic disease care. Some of us have extended services when we have the capacity and the funding to do so. We run a mental health clinic as well, and at the end of this month, we're going to be opening up an eye care clinic to provide basic eye care and eyeglass vouchers for our patients. Again, an unmet need in the community.
Now, is that because, you know, Eau Claire is a larger city, you might be able to offer more, or you've got more need for that, or why eye care?
Well, I think it's proportionate to the size of the community, for one thing. We have generous community funding geared towards eye care. We all look, I think mostly all free clinics look at what are the unmet needs in the community, and with a larger population, we probably do have a larger number that need that support. And we know providing that basic eye care, we perhaps can help people get jobs, can get their eye glasses changed that they may have been wearing for 10 years. So those are the things we look for.
All right. And Sandy Krautkramer, what about things like, bigger services like colonoscopies or CT scans or whatever kind of a scan? What happens then? Obviously, the free clinic isn't able to offer that service. Does that mean that a person at that point is kind of out of luck when trying to get that type of care?
Then we would try to refer those patients to some of the major clinics in the area. For us, it's Marshfield Clinic and Mayo Clinic, and work with their patient assistance programs. And we also work with Spooner and Cumberland. And all of the clinics in the area do have a patient assistance program, and we would send our patients there to complete their applications and work with their social services departments.
Basically, some kind of a payment plan or maybe even a free plan if they qualify?
Yes.
Okay.
They usually have a sliding scale fee, or they assist patients, or sometimes they do cover the charges depending on the patient income.
All right. And we got a call, first call of the evening, and we're going to go straight to them. Margie's on the line from Chippewa Falls, and Margie, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Oop. All right, there. I got you on the air now, Margie.
Hi.
Sorry about that. What's on your mind, and how have you been affected by, or impacted by, free clinics?
Well, I retired. I worked hard all my life at minimum wage jobs, and retired at 62. But couldn't get on the Badger Care because of Walker's cutbacks. And I just really wanted to go to the free clinic and get a flu shot. And they just zeroed in on my high blood pressure and gave me pills for that. And then my diabetes, and gave me testing equipment and a dietitian visit to control that. And then discovered that I had atrial fibrillation due to hyperthyroidism. And luckily, within a few months there, I was able to get on my Social Security or my Medicare, and because I could have died any minute. But they couldn't afford, the free clinic couldn't afford to pay for all that expensive medicine and treatments and stuff. I'd have been dead now without their help.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that you got that kind of care. And Margie, did you know about these other conditions like the diabetes or the hypertension? Or obviously, you didn't know about the atrial fibrillation, but were those unknown to you?
No, I didn't know I had all that. I just, I just thought I'm getting old. Arthritis and old and more weak and tired and stuff. I had the hyperthyroidism apparently for many years, but I had not had any insurance whatsoever for since I was 62 until I was just a couple months short of 65.
Sure.
So no, I did not know that I even had anything like that.
Well, thank you for sharing with us, Margie, and congratulations. I'm glad you got some help, and we're strong enough to actually reach out and ask for it. So best of luck.
I'm just very grateful that there is that program, and I wish there was more funding so that more people could take advantage. And, yes, it was very embarrassing to go there and even volunteers there. This is a small community, and actually saw people volunteering to work there that I had known when I was working, you know?
Mm.
It's very humiliating, but thank goodness it's there.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And other listeners, if you've got an experience like Margie's, do give us a call. The number is 800-228-5615. Or if you've got any other questions or comments for our guests, give us a call. And Mary Myers, how many people come in and are just surprised by the actual ailments that they have? Because, you know, I came from a family that didn't have insurance, and I personally, same boat. There was a lot of things going on that I didn't realize. How many people are in Margie's position when they first come?
There are quite a few. People will put off going to the doctor. For a lot of us, that's second nature. We don't want to go to the doctor to begin with. So when you think you're going to be facing a large bill, you may put off going to the doctor longer. And then by the time you do come in, maybe you do have some high blood pressure that's been going on for a while, and maybe that has affected some other bodily functions, or your diabetes has been out of control long enough where you've had some other long-term healthcare effects. So
right. Well, with that, let's take our first break, because the conversation is really starting to pick up here, and I don't want to interrupt it with a break later. So we're talking about free clinics in Western Wisconsin, the challenges they face, and what the future holds for them in light of some political decisions. We're also talking about the need that, and whether or not the need is increased or decreased since the economy is starting to pick itself back up off the floor. So stay tuned. Our number is 800-228-5615, and we'll be back with more from Mary Myers, Sandy Kraut Kramer, Mary Beth Woodford, and Lisa Jonte. This is The West Side.
Support for WPR comes from Edelman, proud to call Wisconsin home for 27 years, specializing in consultative travel management, video travel, and global consolidations, dedicated to bringing people together to conduct business, online at edelmantravel.com.
Support also comes from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering online and phone loan applications for student loans, consolidation, vehicles, a line of credit, and more. Information is online at wisconsincu.org.
If you don't know the name Carl Schmidt, you do know the voice from 7 decades on WPR. You'll hear it again tomorrow. UWBC Professor Joel Friedrich talks about submissions for this year's Red Cedar publication. Jim Oliver provides a preview of the classic Deflator Mouse opening soon at UW Eau Claire. And we'll talk about the humanitarian and logistical sides of collegiate Red Cross blood drives. I'm Al Ross, inviting you to listen as we put the spectrum in Spectrum West tomorrow at 5 p.m. on this station of the Ideas Network.
I'm Rich Kramer, and this is The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this hour. If you've missed part of the program and would like to listen again, or check out one of the many, many shows that we've done over the past 10-plus years, check out the online archives. Simply go to WPR.org, click on the West Side link, and you'll be able to access archives that go back, I believe, 5 to 7 years. So check that out. Also, like our Facebook page, and you'll get some updates on the upcoming shows, and you'll also have access to some of the archives there as well. So go to Facebook and check out The West Side. We're talking this hour about free clinics in Western Wisconsin, which for many of our neighbors in our region stand as the last resort for access to health care. I'm joined by Sandy Kraut Kramer, director of the Rice Lake Free Clinic, Lisa Jonte, board member of at the Rice Lake Free Clinic, also Mary Myers of the Open Door Free Clinic in Chippewa Falls, and Mary Beth Woodford, executive director of the Chippewa Valley Free Clinic in Eau Claire. And listeners, If you'd like to chime in and get in on the conversation, give us a call. The number is 800-228-5615. That number again is 1-800-228-5615. And Mary Beth Woodford, I'd like to go back to you. And you mentioned that at least in Eau Claire, you were able to begin an eye clinic. But what about dental? Is dental an unmet need in our region for those who can't afford to go to the dentist?
Yes, Rich, it is an unmet need, and it's a badly needed service for many of our patients. We do have Chippewa Valley Technical College and Marshfield Clinic that does provide some care to our patients. Again, you can imagine the long wait list that they may have because there are so few services. We just don't have the funding to start a dental care clinic in our free clinic. It would be so costly to start it up, and we want to start programs that are sustainable, not just fund it for a short time.
Mary Myers, if someone does come in with a toothache or an abscess or something, where do you refer them?
We refer them to the Marshfield Clinic Dental Center in Chippewa Falls. They do take patients on a sliding scale fee.
Okay.
And they do have walk-in appointments Monday through Fridays early in the morning for patients who need to be seen emergently.
Now, I'm interested to hear, you know, what kind of income restrictions there are. And Sandy Krautkramer, is there a certain, 100% of the federal poverty level? What is the restrictions for people that might want to use the clinic?
We see patients who are at 200% of the federal poverty level or less, and for an individual that means an annual income of about $22,000 or less.
Okay, and
about $30,000 or less.
And what if they've got children? How does that impact is it the same?
It goes up by the size of the family. The federal poverty guidelines. So if it's a family of three, it would be an annual income of about $38,000, and it goes up accordingly.
Okay. And we'll go kind of round robin here. And I'm interested in, as I've been teasing at the beginning of the program, officially some federal bureau said that the recession ended in 2010. That seems a little optimistic. I mean, it's still tough out there. So I want to find out from each of our guests whether or not the demand that you've been seeing has gone up or down. What about in Eau Claire, Mary Beth Woodford?
Well, our patients need to meet the criteria of 185% of the poverty level, and that's approximately $20,000 a year for a single or a little over $9 an hour. And we just heard where we want to move our minimum wage up to $9, so that wouldn't even be meeting it. But we've seen an increase in patients. Again, those that are going back to work are going without benefits or working several part-time jobs instead of a full-time with full benefits. High deductibles are another critical factor. They may be offered insurance but can't afford the insurance they're offered. So some of that climate is changing.
Mary Myers.
We also have a 200% guideline for federal poverty level, and the patients need to be uninsured and not have be qualified for another program like Medicaid or Badger Care.
Okay.
Or veterans benefits as well.
And the demand, has it been pretty consistent, and are you having to turn people away?
We saw 13% more patients in 2012 than we had the previous year.
Mm.
Occasionally, we do have to turn patients away, and it's really something that we try not to do. And we do try to meet with every patient that comes in the door to triage them before we would ask them to maybe come back at another time or seek services someplace else.
And Sandy Krautkramer or Lisa Jonte, feel free to jump in as well. Your programs began, I think, in 2009 or right around there. How has the demand been in Rice Lake, a more rural kind of area?
Yeah, we actually opened in June of 2011.
Oh, we did? Okay.
Or, sorry, 2010. Yeah, sorry, I'm in the wrong year.
Yeah, me too.
So we were kind of already, I think, past the official end of the recession, according to what you had indicated. And I think it's hard for us to judge around have our volumes increased because we've only been open for, well, it'll be going on 3 years. But we certainly do have more demand than what we can meet.
Mm-hmm.
We are only open three nights a month. And our goal would be this year to be able to go to 4 or 5 nights a month, or basically every Tuesday night to do that. And it really is, we know we'll fill it.
Sure.
And so there's an unmet need there, but we want to make sure we're sustainable and that we have the volunteers to do the work for the nights that we're currently open.
And I'm sure that's on the minds of any person that is working with a free clinic. Let's go now to the phones again, and we've got Jennifer in Eau Claire, I believe. Jennifer, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
First of all, I want to thank all the nurses and the doctors and all the people that have provided funding. I have worked with a homeless shelter for over 10 years, and I've seen a lot of people come and go. And one of the things I've seen is people that lose their job, can't keep their insurance, lose the medication that they need to be able to get their next job. I mean, the hypothyroid is just one example, and, you know, blood pressure, diabetes, if these aren't treated, they can't work. And so if we don't have a way for them to get their medication that they can get back to work, it's a vicious cycle downward. And clinics like this have changed people's lives throughout the years that they've been open and helped people stop that downward spiral and become productive members of the society again.
All right. Thanks for the call. And Mary Beth Woodford, would you like to play off of that?
Well, yes, I think that's such a critical statement that was made. And we really need to think about what it takes for a patient to come in and get the care they need when they have so many barriers and so many decisions in their life. So it's important that everyone who needs the care come in and get healthy. We do want people to be productive in the community, and we support people going out of our system and into a healthier lifestyle.
And a reminder to our listeners, we're talking about free clinics in western Wisconsin, what they offer, what the demand for free clinics has been like, whether it's gone up or down in recent years. Also, we're going to be getting into in just a bit some of the political realities now and how they are affecting free clinics. I'm speaking specifically about the Federal Care, the Affordable Care Act at the federal level and a decision at the state level just yesterday. Announced that our state is going to be denying federal funds to expand Badger Care. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, do give us a call. The number is 800-228-5615. That number again is 1-800-228-5615. I'd like to go back to Rice Lake. And Sandy Krautkramer, as we just mentioned, the free clinic there is relatively new. What kind of challenges are there, because you're serving more of a rural population, are there any specific challenges that you face in Rice Lake that Chippewa Falls or Eau Claire might not have to deal with?
We're serving a 3-county area. We serve Barron, Washburn, and Rust counties, and sometimes transportation can be difficult for our patients. Rust County, we at Ladysmith is 45 minutes away, it's an hour drive for some people, and just having the gas money to come to the clinic can at times be difficult.
Mm.
And then if they would come down to the clinic and we wouldn't be able to take all of the patients that night, they would end up making another trip or coming back. So sometimes the large areas of
and I see, and also those regions, especially up in Rust County, I know have fairly high poverty levels. Not that, you know, that I'm trying to single them out, but it seems like that area has definitely been hit especially hard by job losses and just unemployment. Now, I saw some nodding heads in the studio here with regards to the transportation comment. Mary Beth Woodford, is that an issue even in the city of Eau Claire?
Well, it is. Transportation is difficult. Of course, we have a great busing system, and we're on the bus route. But we see patients out of our city proper area as well, the county, but also in the Black River Falls area, Osseo, Mondovi, they don't have a free clinic, so in Pepin area. So they will drive many miles to come to see us, sit in a waiting room for quite some time to get the care they need, and then have to drive a long distance again. So this could be a 6-hour day for them just to come to our free clinic.
And Mary Myers, same situations?
we do see the same situations. We're fortunate where we're located in Chippewa Falls. We're downtown, so a lot of our patients can walk to our clinic, mm-hmm. which is helpful. But we do also serve patients from Clark County, so we have people coming over from the Stanley area, and that can be quite a barrier, whether yeah. they can get the gas or even whether they have a car.
That is a bit of a jaunt. We're talking about free clinics in Western Wisconsin, some of the challenges they're facing, and some, you know, who they serve and what they do. And we're going to take another call. This time we're going to Chippewa Falls again. We've got Sandy. Sandy, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. And what's your thoughts on free clinics and how they impact lives?
Well, I'm one of a volunteer at the Chippewa Clinic and have been for many years. And as Mary has said, our count has gone up. Every year it seems to go up and up. But one thing that I have noticed this year is that there are more patients that are coming in that maybe are still working but have lost their insurance to their employer. And that seems to be happening more and more, where the employers are discontinuing the patient's insurance, and so in order to get their medications, they're turning to the free clinic.
Wow. Mary Myers, are you seeing more? Are you noticing that as well, more working poor?
Yes, I am. And we, when we do our intake with new patients, we don't ask them if they have insurance available to them. We ask them if they have insurance, because we don't want that to be a barrier, because people may be able to get insurance through work, but the cost of the insurance is so high
right.
that it's just not able affordable for them.
You've heard a lot. We've heard a lot about insurance costs going up, whether it be co-pays or premiums just skyrocketing because I guess employers may be having tight budgets and passing it on to the employees as well. Well, thank you very much for the comment, Sandy. And now we go to Rice Lake. And Diane, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I was just wondering what the procedures are once you come into a clinic, what type of paperwork you have to fill out, and what type of proof of, say, the wages. What is it you have to do once you walk in the door?
Sandy Krautkramer?
We have potential patients meet with our intake staff, and they review the qualifications to be sure that they're from one of the counties that we serve and that they qualify as far as their income level. If a patient can bring along any form of proof of income that's helpful, like a tax return or a recent pay stub, that helps with the determination.
Okay.
And once they are determined to be qualified, we get them into the system and get them in to see a physician.
So I guess from a layman's term, is it a pile of paperwork or is it pretty simple?
No. And we have our intake workers assist the patients with that. So they help them fill out the paperwork. There's nothing that the potential patient has to do on their own.
Okay.
And I think one of the things that I'm sure all the clinics do is that at intake, they also try to see what other services are available for a person. So maybe they don't qualify for our clinic, but they weren't aware of a patient that's assistance program or some other service. So not only whether they qualify or not, but to make sure they're hooking them up with any other kind of county services or services that are
Oh, we are starting to lose the connection, it seems like. Diane in Rice Lake, did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in. Good luck. Sandy Krautkramer, are you still there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep. It just seems like you were breaking up a little bit, or it looks like Lisa was breaking up. But I guess I've got a question. Why about the Rice Lake location, with you know, facilities or free clinics in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, why start one in Rice Lake? Was there just an overwhelming need, or is it because of the distance between clinics?
Well, I think we started with the idea in 2010, and we did do a needs assessment of the area, and we talked to the existing free clinics in Menominee, in Eau Claire, in Chippewa Falls, because we didn't want to put out there something that when it wasn't needed. And at that point, they definitely saw the need. They were actually seeing some patients from our area there, and we met with our county nurses, and they saw the need for it. And so there was a lot of discussion about, well, do we really need a free clinic in our area? And that has been answered many times by an overwhelming number of patients showing up. So, and then it was also a group of providers in the area from Spooner and Cumberland, Rice Lake and Barron, who had worked at free clinics throughout their careers and how I've had dreamt about having one here. And so there was just some passion from our medical providers and doctors of the area who said, you know, this is something that we should be able to offer our community. And between those, the need and the passion, it got started.
So was there any, were there any concerns from other clinics or from the hospitals that you would be stealing business at all? I mean, has that even come up in the discussions when these things are being formed?
No, actually, there's been a tremendous support from all of our local hospitals and clinics. Each clinic takes, so Marshfield Clinic takes a month of labs for us. The Cumberland Clinic takes a month of labs. They do our labs for us. That's their donation to us. And so they've been very supportive of the effort. They see the need. They cannot always help all of the need either, and so it has been a very much of a collaborative effort, and not just an awesome effort of collaboration and understanding that the need exists. And sometimes I think I would not say our patients are intimidated or want about coming here, that there isn't a stigma of coming here, but maybe that's part of it, is that this is just an option where somebody isn't going to go to non-profit established clinic like Mayo or Marshfield knowing they can't pay their bill, but they can come here because they know there won't be a bill. So that has been, there's just been a lot of collaboration and not competition at all.
We're talking this hour about free clinics in Western Wisconsin, what they do, who they serve, and whether or not the demand for them has gone up or down since the official end of the recession in 2010. Also, again, we're going to be getting into some of the changes or some of the political decisions that may or may not impact free clinics in the future, including the Affordable Care Act and an expansion or the rejection of federal money for an expansion of Medicaid, i.e. Badger Care in Wisconsin. The number is 1-800-228-5615. We're going to take our final break here, but if you have any calls or questions, do give us a call, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. The number, 800-228-5615. You're listening to The West Side.
Support also comes from Dr. Benjamin Farrow and Monroe Street Family Dental, a full-service green dental office located in the Dudgeon Monroe neighborhood. Details online at monroestreetfamilydental.com. Monroe Street Family Dental. A patient practice. Support also comes from Ministry Healthcare, known in the Stanley area as Ministry Our Lady of Victory Hospital, and in Marshfield as Ministry St. Joseph's Children's Hospital. Ministry Healthcare, knowing and treating you better. Online at ministryhealth.org.
The patriarch of WPR storytellers, the Red Cedar Journal of Arts and Literature, the humanitarian efforts behind Red Cross Blood, and a classic play opens at UWEC. Spectrum West has it and more tomorrow at 5 p.m. on this Ideas Network station.
Next week on the West Side, we'll be dissecting the governor's budget proposal for the next biennium, and we're going to have two regional lawmakers on the program to help pick it apart. We're going to have Scott Suter. He's a Republican state representative from Abbotsford, and we'll also have Democratic state representative Chris Dano of Trempealeau. That's next Thursday at 5 p.m. Also, we're going to take as many of your calls as we can. This hour, for the rest of this hour, we're talking about free clinics in Western Wisconsin, the need, the funding, and some political realities that are around the corner that may impact what they do. I'm joined by Mary Beth Woodford. She's the executive director of the Chippewa Valley Free Clinic in Eau Claire. Mary Myers, clinic coordinator for the Open Door Free Clinic in Chippewa Falls. Sandy Krautkramer, director of the Rice Lake Free Clinic, and Lisa Jonte, board member at the with the Rice Lake Free Clinic. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, the number is 800-228-5615. I'm interested in hearing the stories of those who have been impacted one way or another by free clinics, whether you've volunteered, Would love to hear from volunteers. Also, whether you've gone and it has improved your life or changed your life, and what you felt, you know, when you first went, whether you were kind of worried about some of the assumptions of that were out there surrounding free clinics. Give us a call. We'd love to hear your story. The number 800-228-5615. And we just touched on funding has come up a couple times during the hour, and no doubt it's a big part of the job of being a coordinator or an executive director for a free clinic. How does the funding work? Where does it come from, Mary Beth Woodford, for free clinics like the one in Eau Claire here?
Well, we are a community-based clinic, so we are funded by the community, the generous support from individuals in the community. There are business partners in the community. Some of our business will sponsor a week of clinic care. We have many generous churches, and we can't forget the healthcare systems. We have very healthy abundance of healthcare systems in our Eau Claire area, and they are generous to the free clinic. They support us both with in-kind support and funding. We don't receive any federal, state, or county money, so we depend on our community to support us. And I always say we're by the community and for the community, so they help us keep the doors open and lights on.
Has that always been the case, no federal or state funding? Because it would seem that would be that'd be a nonprofit that would be just perfect for that kind of funding.
Throughout the course of the years, there has been some intermittent funding for various perhaps purchases that need to be made. We did receive some federal funding a couple of years ago to fund electronic medical records and computer updates, but they're very specific. For the ongoing annual funding, we do not. We do receive a small HUD grant, but that's been decreasing over the past couple of years. So at this time, it supports about 4 months of our nursing supervisor salary, and that's it. But 95% of our funding comes right from our community.
The HUD grant has been declining since, can you pinpoint a date when it started? I mean, as a journalist, I'm interested in trying to get the stats.
Well, it has been decreasing since I've been here, so I can say the last 2 years we've seen a dramatic decrease. I don't know prior to that how stabilized it's been. It does support us, and we are appreciative of it, but again, the community support is the primary support that we receive through foundations here in the community. United Way is a generous supporter, and other community supporters.
And Mary Myers, how has funding for the Open Door Clinic, I imagine it's comes from the same place, you know, the community and the businesses and the health system. How is it? Has it been fluctuating at all? And does it keep you up at night, I guess?
It doesn't keep me up at night. We're very fortunate that we have just a wonderful community that supports our program. We get some grant support from the Community Foundation of Chippewa County, and also the Rutledge Charities have been very supportive. We're housed in the First Presbyterian Church in Chippewa Falls, who give us put the roof over our head and keep the lights on for us. So between community foundations and just individuals who are just remarkably generous, we've done well.
And I'll go back to Rice Lake. And Lisa, I think this might be a question for you. Such a new program, has it been a challenge trying to single out those sources for funding, or has it been kind of easy going?
I'm sorry, Lisa had to leave, but I can answer this. I can try to answer.
Sandy Krautkramer, go ahead.
We're also totally funded by donations, and we've been very fortunate. We've had the Rice Lake Area Health Foundation that has provided us with quite a bit, with a majority of our funding, as well as other private donations. And we're housed in a medical arts building. It's a space provided by the Ministry Health team, and we've had a group of nuns from Ladysmith that have been instrumental in helping us out. We've been very fortunate with community support. It's just been wonderful. And also the area health centers have been very helpful and very supportive.
And how many volunteers does it take to run a free clinic? Now, Sandy Krautkramer, I'll start with you. Your operation is, I don't know if it's smaller, but I think it's once a month instead of weekly?
Actually, we're open 3 times a month now.
Okay.
And we currently have about 160 volunteers. We have some daytime volunteers, and then a clinic night, a typical clinic night, has 20 to 25 volunteers. So it's quite a large group, but it's the volunteers are wonderful. It's just amazing how generous people are with their time.
Mary Beth, sorry to interrupt, but Mary Beth Woodford, same thing. Volunteers, has that ever been a problem trying to round up enough volunteers to keep the business end, the nursing end, and all the ends that I don't even know about?
Well, we could always use more volunteers. It's a volunteer-driven clinic, so the more volunteers we have, the more services we can provide. But I'm so glad you brought up this issue, because we could not function. We could not keep our doors open. The funding is wonderful in our community, but the volunteer hours, their time and their talent, from the medical staff to those that come and just do data entry or keep our clinic clean, we could not function without them. So the generosity of volunteers' time is so critically important, equal to the funding we get. But we could always use more volunteers.
Oh, okay. And just out of curiosity, how many in Eau Claire?
We have about 200 volunteers. The more volunteers we have, the less time the volunteers that are with us have to put in. So just a pitch to get more doctors and RNs in would be great.
Okay. And Mary Myers, how many volunteers do you have at the Open Door Clinic? And do you ever have trouble wrangling them?
We have over 130 volunteers. So on a clinic night, we have about 20 to 25 volunteers there. Last year, our volunteers gave about 6,400 hours plus of volunteer time to the clinic.
That's impressive.
It is. It's very impressive. And just as Mary Beth said, the positions that we could use more volunteers are the skilled medical positions, the physicians, the nurse practitioners, the pharmacists, the nurses.
And are there any physicians or nurse practitioners that have been with the free clinics in each location just for years and years and years? I mean,
we have two physicians who are there every week.
And they've been
there since the beginning.
Wow.
We've been very fortunate that way.
We're talking about free clinics on the west side this hour, and we're getting close to the top of the hour, but we could still take a call from a listener. If you have a story about visiting a free clinic, or if you've got any questions or comments for the leaders here of the free clinics in Chippewa Falls, Rice Lake, and Eau Claire, give us a call. The number is 800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. Now, political realities. This is something that is kind of, I figure we could wrap up the show with. Big news just yesterday, the governor announced that he was going to decline federal money to expand Medicaid, i.e. Badger Care in Wisconsin. Mary Beth Woodford, what does that mean for free clinics in our state?
Well, of course, we were saddened to hear that news, because we would like to see more people going off the wait list for Badger Care, not needing our services. We could stabilize more in our clinic. There's always a need to see more patients, but we were hoping it would be funded so, again, the Medicare funding would be broadened to more people. And I know it's there's that, again, perception that then they're in the system and it's hard to get out. But I would like to see it funded for the next few years, because then our economy may change and more people may be getting jobs with insurance. The Affordable Health Care Act may kick in at that time in 2014, and we'll see some changes. But to get people back on our health system for the state would be helpful to our free clinics as well.
But it doesn't affect any kind of funding for what you do, but at all, does it?
No, again, we're community funded.
Right,
we're
right,
not
right.
funded by the state at all.
Okay. And the Sandy Krautkramer, I want to go back to Rice Lake. Any thoughts on the governor's decision to kind of move or reject the extra money to expand Badger Care, but basically move them to the federal exchange? I mean, does that cause any consternation up in Rice Lake at your clinic?
I'm really not sure how that's going to affect our clinic. It would be nice to see more people being able to benefit and being accepted by Badger Care, it would probably decrease our numbers. But I'm really not totally sure how it will affect us down the road.
Sure. Let's take our final call. We've just got a call in from Michael, and Michael is calling from Frederick. You're on the air, Michael. Thanks for tuning us in and calling in. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me. I just wanted to call. I'm a pre-med student at the University of Wisconsin in Rice Lake, and I'm also a volunteer that volunteers sometimes at the Rice Lake Free Clinic, and I just wanted to say how that experience has affected me throughout the time I've been volunteering there. It's just really cemented my decision to enter medicine and has proven as a motivator for me to continue in my studies and to be able to see the impact that these physicians are having on the community. And it's also just a really rewarding way for me to give back to the community. My wife and I are having our first child, and we use Badger Care because of our income status as students. And so it's just really rewarding to be able to also help some less fortunate people as well.
And, Michael, I imagine it doesn't hurt the resume either?
It does not hurt, no. But it's nice to have resume builders that can be so personally rewarding, too.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. And best of luck to you in your studies.
Yes, thank you.
And that'll do it for the calls this hour. We've got just about 1 minute to go. But I wanted to quickly go round robin again and see what free clinics are, how they're viewing the Affordable Care Act, which will eventually be in effect, I believe, in 2014. Sandy Krautkramer, any ideas on how that might impact your operations in Rice Lake?
I guess we're kind of on a wait-and-see attitude. I'm hoping that it will decrease our need or the need to have us, but I don't think it's going to cover everyone, and I predict that there will still be a need for free clinics.
And Mary Beth Woodford, you and I were speaking early. You echoed that. Free clinics aren't going away because of the Affordable Care Act?
No, I don't believe they will. It would be great if they did. We all want to be out of a job, but I think people that have health insurance may not have access to health insurance, so I think there will still be a need.
All right. Well, that's our time. I'd like to thank my guests, Sandy Krautkramer, Mary Beth Woodford, Mary Myers. Thank you so much. Tune in next week. We're going to have some lawmakers on dissecting the governor's budget. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll chat again next week.